Our text for today is recorded in 1 Peter chapter 1, and I'm going to just concentrate on the first two verses, verses 6 and 7. In all this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold which perishes, even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Heavenly Father, sanctify us through your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. You may be seated. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, let's for the moment assume that St. Peter was in Rome at the beginning of the persecution of Christians under Nero. And Peter could understand how that persecution, like a tsunami, would reach out from Rome in ripples and reach ultimately the Christian congregations scattered around the Mediterranean area. And so St. Peter wrote this epistle with the idea of warning the Christians of the persecution that was coming, and also to tell the Christians how to withstand the suffering that they would have to endure in light of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior. So now let's bring this a little bit closer to home. Nero was pitting Christian against lion in the arena. Nero was crucifying Christians along the boulevards of Rome, and then at night, he was lighting these crucified Christians on fire so that the Roman citizens could see their way with these street lights. Now, we certainly are not suffering anything like this, but yet we are, even here in America, suffering a kind of social harassment because of our witness to the faith. So people ridicule us, and people shun us, and people mock us, and people don't take us seriously if we announce to the world that we are Bible-believing Christians. So how do we endure this kind of suffering and even worse? It's a situation and a circumstance we should think about and we know how to respond to it. And so St. Peter here in our text really says that there are three reasons as to how we can stand firm and rejoice, actually, in the face of suffering. So how do we stand firm, even in the face of this ridicule because of our faith? Well, in the first place, we can do it because we have an expectation of eternity. We suffer our faith for the now and for a little while. Our text tells us. Now, Peter takes that same thought, and later in chapter 5 of this epistle, he elaborates a little bit on that, and he says that after you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace will call you to his heaven. So we can live and endure the suffering of this world with a view of what God has in store for us in the life to come. Now, I'm going to ask you, if you happen to know the words of this verse, feel free to say them with me. I'm sure that many of you do know these words, but as we say these words, I want you to concentrate on the word heaven. And the hymn verse I want to talk about here is, "I'm but a stranger here, heaven is my home." So if you know that first verse, say it with me. I'm but a stranger here, heaven is my home. Earth is a desert drear, heaven is my home. Danger and sorrow stand round me on every hand. Heaven is my fatherland. Heaven is my home. These words from that hymn verse were actually taken from 1 Peter here. When persecution and suffering come upon us for Christ's sake, then let's remember that that is not the end. The end is not to suffer here. The end is heaven, where we will be with the Lord forever in pure bliss with all the elect of God throughout eternity. What can this world do to us when we have that to look forward to? Now, secondly, St. Peter tells us that we can endure the suffering of this current age if we keep in mind that suffering for Christ can actually make us stronger. Our text says that we suffer grief in all kinds of trials. Why? So that our faith may be proven genuine, even as gold is refined in a fire. Now, trials are tests, and the idea is that we emerge stronger at the end. Well, right now we are in the month of March Madness. You thought it was just March. It's March Madness. Now, I don't watch much television when it comes to athletic events, but some of you are probably glued to your television and watching these tremendous athletes, college athletes, play basketball. How did they get that way? Did they go through rigorous training for all those many months so one day they could just collapse during a big game at March Madness? No. They went through all of that suffering and all of that exercise and trial so that they would emerge stronger at the end right now in those very important games. Or you take gold and you refine it in a fire, not to destroy the gold, but to make it pure. And the same thing happens when Christians suffer for their faith. They emerge on the other end even stronger. St. Paul had a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet him. He asked the Lord, "Take this away from me." And the Lord said, "No." And then Paul realized that when he was at his very weakest, the Lord was there at his very strongest. The Lord more than compensated for his weakness. And the Lord does the same thing for us with his love and grace. The Almighty God, the Father of heaven, sent his Son to be our Savior. That Son of God came down and lived a perfect, righteous life for us. That Son of God came down and suffered our sin, guilt, and iniquity on the cross and suffered hell itself in our place and then rose again for our justification. God the Holy Spirit worked faith in our heart through baptism. That same God who has shown all that love for us, would he even consider abandoning us in our suffering for the name of righteousness? Of course not. He will make us stronger so we can endure that suffering. And thirdly, St. Peter tells us that we can withstand suffering knowing that in the very end, God will look at us and say, "Well done." Our text says that a proven faith results in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. And that's tough for us to swallow. It seems like the stronger we get in our faith, the less we can even conceive of that idea that Jesus Christ praising us. How can that be? We're miserable sinners. Before we were brought to faith through a miracle of God, the Holy Spirit, we were 100% diametrically opposed to God and everything he stands for. And then God, in spite of that, or because of that, brought us to faith. And even now, there is that part of us which is evil, wicked, mean, and bad, and nasty. Even as Christians, we have this constant struggle going on inside of us. So how can God one day say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," and give us honor, praise, and glory? Well, that's just the way God operates. God does not give us what we deserve, and that is death and damnation. But God gives us what he requires of us, and that is faith and righteousness. And then God helps us endure all of the sufferings for his name's sake on this earth. And then God one day says, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." That's the kind of God we have. And that's the one who gives us strength in our suffering. Amen. Please rise. We sing the final hymn verses.
Thank you.
now may the grace, mercy, peace of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit be and abide with us all until life everlasting. Depart in peace.